Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to Part 8 in our 12-part series entitled Biblical Economics. In our last program, we talked about some pretty harrowing examples of people who were indebted to others, like, for instance, a widow that actually had a creditor coming to take away her two sons so that her debt could be paid. And these two sons were ripped away from her, and they were sold into slavery so that they could that money could pay off her debt. And then also we saw the example of this creditor who owed a lot of money, and his master said, "Pay me what you owe me." And this person said, "Give me some time." And then the master said, "Okay." So this contractor went and got one of his subcontractors who owed him some money and told him, "Pay me what you owe." And that subcontractor said, "I don't have the money right now, but give me some time." And the contractor said, "No, I'm going to throw you into prison. I'm going to sell your wife and your children." And so that was another horrible consequence. And then when the master of the contractor heard that, he said, "Wait a minute, I gave you an opportunity to pay me over a period of time, and you turn around and you treat your subcontractor this way. I'm rescinding my offer, and now you have to go to prison until you pay off the debt." And so we see a situation where three people actually face some really horrible consequences from their unwise decisions in building up so much debt. Now, you've probably never faced consequences quite that severe. You've probably never had someone threaten to put you in jail for not paying some of your bills. You've probably never had any of your children sold into slavery. But there are some people that face bad circumstances, and you might be familiar with some of these scenarios that we're going to talk about. One of them might be, "I can't wait until I'm free from this car payment. They've come to repossess it twice." Have you ever had your car repossessed? "Honey, don't answer the phone. Don't answer the phone. It's the mortgage company threatening to foreclose on our home." I know a lot of people have heard that. "Oh, how I wish I could quit this job, but I can't since I have to pay off all my credit cards." Yeah, a lot of people would like to quit the job and tell the boss to shove it, you know, to get back at the boss for being raunchy, but they can't. They have to stay there and face this raunchy old boss every day. Why? Because they have a mountain of debt that they have to pay. They're just in bondage to a job that they hate. Another scenario. "Forget it. They can have everything. I'm just going to file for bankruptcy." Have you been in that situation before? Again, unfortunately, I personally know people who have been in that situation where they just throw up their hands. They're just so far in debt, they can't do anything. And they just say, "Forget it. The creditors, they can have everything. I'm just going to file for bankruptcy." Of course, some people use bankruptcy really just to build up debt and then not have to pay for it, but that's another story. And another scenario. "Man, I'm in debt up to my neck and I'm sinking fast. I need some relief." It could be what? It could be the student loans. It could be people that actually... This was such a sad situation. This actually happened to someone that I was renting a home to. These people were renting a TV. Can you believe that? From this rent-a-center? They were renting a television. They were renting furniture. And I just do not understand that. When my wife and I got married, the only furniture we had was the furniture that was given to us as a wedding gift, and all of that furniture was old. And when I say old, it was pretty old. It was pretty worn out, but people were generous still because they knew our situation, and they gave us this used furniture. And so for the first 7 years of our marriage, we did not have any living room furniture, and the family room so-called furniture that we had didn't have legs on them. The upholstery was really ripped, and we didn't have any dining room furniture whatsoever. Like I said, everything that we had was donated to us, and it wasn't a whole lot, but we were determined not to go into debt over something like this. And there was no shame in our game, believe me. We were hospitable. We invited lots of people over. Sometimes people had to bring folding chairs, but that was fine. We tried to be as hospitable as possible. We even had people staying with us. We opened up our home to let people stay with us. But it's like, hey, you just deal with what we have, which wasn't much. But we decided not to go into debt. Another scenario. Which bills should I pay this month? The ones with the highest interest or the ones with the largest penalty charge? I got to shuffle these bills around. Yeah, again, I know a lot of people have been there. Now, how do we get into debt? If any of these scenarios sound familiar, then you know what it's like to be enslaved to debt. By no means do these feelings engender warm thoughts in your heart, unless those warm thoughts in your heart are heartburn. So let me put it another way. By no means do these feelings engender wonderful thoughts about your financial situation. You perhaps have sleepless nights in Seattle, Atlanta, wherever you are. Perhaps you do have heartburn. Every time the phone rings, you jump, you get nervous. Every time someone knocks on the door, you're nervous. You look outside all the time because you're trying to see if they're coming to repossess your car, or you park your car around the corner so nobody knows where it is. Yeah, all of these things I know a lot of people have faced before, but how do people get into debt like this? Well, one of the first things, of course, is nowadays credit cards are offered to teenagers that aren't even in college yet. It used to be where people weren't offered credit cards until they got out of college and got a job, or got out of high school and got a job. Then it started to be credit cards were offered to people when they were going to college to make it easy for mom and dad to pay for expenses. Just put it on the credit card, or to make it easy for the students to pay for expenses. You'll never run out of cash that way. Just put it on the credit card. But nowadays, these credit card companies are actually soliciting teenagers while they're still in high school. So in a lot of cases, that's where the debt starts. And quite honestly, parents are making some very foolish decisions in giving their children credit cards while they're in high school. Even if it's a matter of a credit card that only has a small limit, that is not a wise thing to do, to teach your children at such an early age to get into debt. But that seems to be the American way. Now, maybe there's something that I'm not thinking about, that there's some great reason why you're going to give your kid a credit card. Maybe a reason is you're saying, well, if I give him a credit card now and I teach him how to use it, then he'll know how to use it to buy something, but only to buy enough on the credit card that he has to cover the cash with in the bank. But let's face it, most people do not use the credit card that way. It's a very rare person that uses a credit card that way, and definitely a young kid is not going to have the character to use a credit card that way. So I would just say, stay away. Parents, if you know about your kids trying to get a credit card, just stay away from that, all right? But that's one of the ways that we first get into debt, is by accepting a credit card. Then, like I said, it might be going away to college, and you might need to buy a computer for the kids, especially in this day and age, so your kids can be competitive. You don't have the money, you put it on a credit card. Or maybe the kid puts it on a credit card. Then, of course, when the kid gets they're into school, they have this student loan, for instance, and the student loan is a huge debt because the parents haven't saved up money, the kids haven't done well enough in school to get a scholarship, they don't have any rich aunts and uncles And so they take out a student loan, and that's a lot of debt. Then you get out of college. Now you're facing the world where you have to have a car. Then you have to have an apartment. And then that just means more and more debt, because then you gotta go out there and buy furniture so you can have your apartment looking nice. And you gotta have your cell phone. You gotta have cable TV. You gotta have this. You gotta have that. You gotta buy some fancy clothes for work. And just mountains and mountains of debt just pile up. But people in America especially think that that's fine, because it's like, well, if I only pay this little bit per month, then that's okay. But I'm telling you that debt is something, and I hope you've seen that from our previous program, debt is something that is considered a curse by God. It is not a good situation to be in, for you to be indebted to someone, for you to owe someone something, especially not when you can avoid it. There may be some extenuating circumstances where no matter what you try to do, you go into debt. But generally speaking, debt is not a good thing, and it should be avoided. And yes, I know that from where many of you are sitting, it seems unrealistic to go through life without living in debt. There's very few who can buy a house or car with cash or graduate from college without a heavy loan burdening them down. Yet it's not impossible, even for the average person. And I'll give you some secrets on how to do that.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.